Welcome to the Tuesday, October 8, 2019 regular closed session meeting of the East Bay MUD Board of Directors. Roll call.
Directors Coleman.
Present.
Katz. Lenny. McIntosh.
Here.
Mellon.
Present.
Patterson.
Present.
President Young.
I'm here.
Just came in.
And Lenny has just walked in. I don't have any cards, but is there anyone for public comment? We will now convene to conference room 8 for closed session agenda items 1A and 2A through C and return here for our regular meeting at 1:15. Welcome to the Tuesday, October 8, 2019 regular business meeting of the East Bay Municipal Utility District Board of Directors. The Planning and the Legislative and Human Resources Committees met earlier today and will report out under item 12. Roll call, Madam Secretary.
Directors Coleman.
Present.
Katz.
Present.
Lenny.
Here.
McIntosh.
Here.
Mellon.
Present.
Patterson.
Present.
President Young.
I'm here. Okay, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have no announcements from closed session. I have one. That's not for regular public comment. Do I have anyone here for public comment on items that are not part of the agenda? Okay. We have the consent calendar, items 1 through 10. Because we have a speaker card on item 4, we will pull that.
I'll do 1 through 3 and 5 through 10.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. No, none. Okay, that passes. Item 4, I'm going to do a short presentation on that, we'll have our speaker.
So we had an opportunity during a planning committee this morning to provide information on the need for these two contracts. Contract 4.2, in the amount of $160,000, provides electric engineering support that would typically be done by district staff. And the other, 4.1, provides support for a one-time project that if we had staff with skills in this area that they could or would do, but we would still view that some of it would be needed to be contracted out under any circumstance. Very briefly, we've been working at the management with Local 2019and representatives of the electrical engineers have been working to try to address the recruitment issues that we've had for electrical engineers. We have had some success, but we continue to have 6 vacancies out of, and I don't have it right off the top of my head, but something on the order of 37 positions. And we're working diligently to resolve that. But we view that this work needs to be done, and so we're in the interim seeking approval for these contracts, which provide external resources. We can answer any questions, or maybe we can hear from the public speaker before the board would take any action.
Justin?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So my name is Justin Young. I'm an associate electrical engineer, and I was voted as first VP of Local 2019. The reason I was voted because they saw how I fought for East Bay MUD. They saw how I addressed problems, and they know that I want the best for East Bay MUD. I talked earlier in the planning committee, I talked about the concerns that Local 2019 saw, as well as management now, that we cannot fill associate electrical engineer positions. We brought this up 2.5 years ago during negotiations to mention that we knew electrical contract work would increase, and it has. We have actually hired people to do electrical engineer job that work in my group. They have two more contracts like this that we've always done in-house. So I know what the next step is. The next projects, they'll be done in-house with electrical engineers contracting doing the portion. It's a logical next step. So with your help, we proposed 2.5 years ago to do an equity adjustment. We put one together ourselves. It didn't seem to get any traction. So we need HR support, your support, management support to do what's best for the district. That's all I really wanted to say today.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we had a presentation on this morning in the planning committee. I just wanted to check again, I guess, with staff on what is being done to deal with this, particularly with regard to salaries. I'm trying to remember from this morning whether there was a move towards doing a new salary survey to see how much would needed to be done in that area, and not just, you know, kind of more increased. There was quite a number of things that the staff was doing in terms of flexibility, in terms of maybe changing some job descriptions and things like that. But particularly with regard to salary, just curious, do we have a salary survey we're planning to do?
So as a part of, as a preface to and a part of every MOU renegotiation, we complete a salary survey. And so that was done prior to the last negotiation, which, you know, was somewhat protracted. We would do that again as in advance of and as a part of the next negotiation, which I think board members are familiar. We'll probably be getting started on that towards the end of 2020, so in about a year. And we typically don't do salary-related actions outside of the MOUs. We've zipped it up, to use the term. So in roughly 12 months, we would begin that process, that dialogue. In the meantime, that will take some time. In the meantime, this work needs to get done. We do, I think we all agree, I speak for Local 2019 management, the electrical engineers, we do need to focus on recruiting and filling those positions. As I said earlier, we have had some success. We're working at trying to grow our own, and so we've been able to fill a couple of the positions, and you heard about we had two, we stole a couple of positions from other locations in the district. Also, between the time that we had the planning committee presentation, we looked into the amount of overtime to address Director Mellon's question at the time, and it's about it equates to about 1/2 of an FTE. That's where we are with that. I could try to answer additional questions, but did that get close?
I think that
Director Mellon, yeah.
Was what I wanted to kind of.
You going to give us an email or a memo on the hours?
We will follow up, but I wanted you to know now because it was responsive to the question you raised. So about 1/2 of an FTE, which is about 1,000 hours.
Okay, thank you.
Spread over all of those, I guess it would be 31 positions because we have 37 and 6 are vacant.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments or questions?
I would move item 4.
Moved by Director Mellon. Is there a second?
I'll second it, and note also that our planning committee did pass a vote on supporting this.
Okay. All right.
Because of the exigency in the work, I'll support the project here, but I do take the concerns very seriously, that it seems that this is the type of work that we should be able to do in-house, and I'd like to see ongoing reports about how we're filling the vacancies and keeping our salaries competitive.
All right. I'm also going to support the motion due to the importance of the work, but this, you know, again, elevates this issue that's been coming up for a while now, and hope that we can make some forward progress on resolving the union's issues and filling these important positions in our organization. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? No. Motion carries. Okay. On to termination discussion. First up, general manager's report. I think we get to hear about the public safety power shutoffs.
Right. So
if I'm
we'd
not
like
mistaken.
To. Yes, that's correct. We have our director of operations and maintenance, Clifford Chan, will provide an update on the latest issues related to the public safety power shutoff that PG&E has identified will occur as early as midnight.
Good afternoon, President Young, members of the board. Actually, Kelly Vito and I will make this presentation. It's been a busy couple days for us. You've heard about PSPS in the news yesterday and today, and I think it's only going to continue to build up. It's interesting, our annual emergency operations team exercise next week was based around a PSPS event. So we'll have an opportunity to do an actual response before we do our exercise. We're fortunate, though, that we're very prepared. We've pre-deployed lots of generators. We've conducted tabletop exercises and functional exercises. We've pre-scripted lots of messages, as well as we've done a lot of community outreach. That said, this particular outage is quite large, larger than we had anticipated based on what PG&E had shared with us in all of our preparations. So what are the weather conditions? Starting tomorrow morning around 5 a.m. through Wednesday, we'll be in red flag conditions. This is all from the National Weather Service. There's also a wind advisory tomorrow. They expect sustained winds of 20 to 30 miles an hour and gusts up to 55 miles per hour. And as well as low humidity. And you might recall the triggers for a PSPS are red flag, high wind, low humidity, and high fuel. And this is what we're seeing right now.
So are you saying, Cliff, that power may be started to be restored on Thursday at around 5 p.m.?
I am not. And I'll share with you a timeline. This could be an extended outage.
Okay.
So just a quick timeline of what led us up until today. So last week, PG&E listed various zones in their service area as elevated. So PG&E has, you know, you could be nothing, elevated, a watch, and a PSPS warning. Over the weekend, they raised it to a PSPS watch. And then yesterday, they activated their emergency operations center. They began conference calls with various stakeholders. And given the breadth and the scope of this particular outage, the district activated its emergency operations team. Today, we're going to continue our coordination with PG&E and our activities to prepare ourselves for a potential outage. So just to give you a sense of when the outage may begin, it may start as early as midnight on Wednesday or just, you know, in, 12 hours or so. And it could last up to 5 days. Now, PG&E is breaking this into three phases, even though they're calling this one event. Is broken into three phases, and this is a very fluid event right now. The first phase, the outages are going to start around midnight, the second phase around noon tomorrow, and then the third phase, they didn't give us an exact timeline, but it's moving north to south. And just to give you a sense of how fluid this is, we put together this presentation at 12:15, and we were on a conference call with PG&E at 12:30, and they've added two more counties, so Siskiyou and Trinity have been added, and it's gone from about 600,000 customers to 790,000 customers. They did tell us yesterday, kind of their model-to-model run, it's been very stable, so they haven't seen a lot of things change. And the one thing that they did warn us yesterday is they only expect it to get worse, and this is what we're seeing, that this is continuing to get worse. So it's 790,000 customers within Alameda and Contra Costa counties. Again, at 12/15, it was about 72,000 PG&E customers. That's now up to 82,000 PG&E customers. They added 10,000 additional customers in Contra Costa counties. Now, our customers and PG&E's customers are different, so it's about 35,000 East Bay MUD customers that might be affected by a potential outage. I listed the various cities that are going to be affected in Alameda and Contra Costa counties. I'm not going to go through those, but just to give you a sense of how many cities might see power shutoffs. So what district facilities are affected? They sent us a list this morning of 133 of our facilities that might be affected. That includes 47 pumping plants, 37 of our distribution reservoirs, 2 water treatment plants, and that's Arinda Water Treatment Plant and Lafayette Water Treatment Plant.
So Larkey Park is not. Walnut Creek is not.
Within Walnut Creek, none of our facilities within the Walnut Creek area. I mean, up in the hills, there might be some areas that might be affected. And then there are other facilities. So the Arinda Watershed Headquarters is going to be affected, but they have backup power. Lafayette Recreation Area might be shut down as well. And as of 1:30, no wastewater facilities. This map shows you the affected area. So let me explain this map. So the yellow kind of blobs, those are the areas that PG&E is saying that they're going to shut down power. And if you look at those little polygons, let me point in this particular area. So if you look at these particular areas, those are our pressure zones. And this just gives you a sense that PG&E is going to have many more customers affected than the customers in our pressure zones, which is, a subset within that. All those little pins are our pumping plants that are within, and then you'll see some that are outside of PG&E's, of the potential outage. So this is quite a large outage that they're talking about right now. So again, this is a very large outage. We're going through and doing analysis. We didn't anticipate that both Arinda and Lafayette water treatment plants would be shut down simultaneously. We're doing an analysis right now to see if we might need an additional portable generator. It would be a fairly large portable generator that we would have to stage out at Lafayette treatment plant. We haven't completed that analysis yet. PG&E also informed us at the 12:30 call today that at 5:30 tonight, they'll actually give us the order in which they'll shut down power by county. So we don't know which order they're going to shut down the various counties. But as far as the response, we are maximizing our storage in the distribution reservoirs. We have field staff out there right now connecting all the portable generators. We verified that we have fuel availability. We've spoken with our vendor, and they're available and ready, and we do have backup plans if necessary. We're continuing to participate on calls with the county EOC and PG&E. We're coordinating with our PG&E contact. And at this point, I'm going to pass this off to Kelly to talk about our communications plan.
Clifford, before you go, can you go back to the map, please? Because I couldn't see Richmond up in
that. It's up right in this particular area.
Yeah, I know, but I can't see it. I can't see what is behind.
Is the extent of our service area that's impacted, or does it go up to Crockett?
Does it be shrunk?
It includes, so if you look at the facilities, you'll see it includes up to Rodeo.
So you just cut off for Ward, basically.
Yeah, you just cut Ward 1 off altogether.
And Ward 3.
Not intentionally. We're trying to just give you a perspective, but we can provide a better map if you'd like.
That would be helpful.
Put it in my mind so that we can play with it.
Actually, okay. It would be great if we could have this sent to us so I can download it.
No problem.
Thank you.
The complete.
Yeah.
We'll do that shortly.
Okay. So I'm here to talk a little bit about how we are going to be communicating with our customers, key stakeholders, and government officials now that we know, per the 12:30 call, that PG&E is moving ahead with the de-energization.
Go
ahead. You need to go back
USL,
again?
So USL, I mean, San Leandro isn't... Is it outside one of these little bubbles?
Because so we've actually asked a lot of questions about these yellow blobs here. So they did tell us to take these blobs with a grain of salt. They have another tool, and as well as our contact, they sent us the actual facility. So, for example, when you look at this one, if I just went by the yellow blobs, Walnut Creek Water Treatment Plant would have been shut down. Upper San Leandro is not in service. The Sobrani Water Treatment Plant would have been affected. We did confirm with them that those facilities aren't affected. So this is their best estimate, but they did say that for our purposes, don't rely on these particular blobs, rely on the information that they sent us. I should also add, on the call today, they did talk about restoration, which, again, they will provide more information at 5:30 today. But their restoration is going to be priorities are going to be focused on water, jails, and hospitals.
Schools. Schools are SOL.
Okay. So as you all might recall, we've been conducting outreach on PSPS going back through the summer. We did a fairly extensive media campaign this summer with a press release. We got, I think, about a dozen stories about how we were preparing for PSPS, what we were urging customers to do on PSPS, and emergency water storage. That was the subject of the last two customer pipelines that we did. We've done social media outreach, developed a fact sheet that we've distributed very widely, and we've also done social media, next door, and other content posted. So after the board meeting today, the plan is that we're going to, I should say first that we sent, the general manager sent an all-employee message out this morning notifying folks about the PSPS impact on our operations, reminding people to look at the business continuity plans in their divisions. So right after this meeting, the plan is that we're going to send email notifications and some select calls to local elected officials, county officials, and other important stakeholders. We are going to use the WaterSmart outreach tool that's going to allow us to zero in on the pressure zone areas where we will do direct email outreach to people within those pressure zones that could be potentially impacted. We're also, today we've already posted some social media about, again, preparing for PSPS. We will post social media highlighting actually what is one of our kind of key tools in this outreach effort, which I'll show you on the next page, which is a website that we've developed. And then the last piece here you can see on the slide is a media advisory. We've already gotten several media calls about this, and so we have given them information about what we are doing to prepare, what we're urging customers to do, and to stay tuned to information that will be coming out from us and PG&E and others. So we have been developing this website, which essentially allows people to see the pressure zones that might be affected. They're essentially the smaller yellow blobs that were on Clifford's earlier map. And so this shows pressure zones where we have staged generators for pumping plants or temporary pumping plants. And so what it will allow people to do is type in their address and be able to see if they're in a pressure zone that's affected. Because again, some people might still have power but be affected. Their pressure zone be affected, and then the opposite might be true. And so by going into this map and typing in your address, you'll be able to see exactly you know, how you are impacted potentially. And then we advise folks who are in those areas to conserve water by turning off outdoor irrigation and then minimizing indoor water use. And of course, we always are also urging folks to have emergency water available, of course, as we've said before, for any emergency. So in addition, we're collaborating with our other water agency peers. We've been in touch with the PIO network. We are also tuning into calls at least twice a day on with the county EOCs, Contra Costa and Alameda County, to share messaging. And we'll start this cycle all over again tomorrow once the power actually shuts down and refresh all these messages and outreach tools to, again, convey that, you know, now the power is shut down, that we will be, you know, asking people to actually conserve. Right now we're telling them, get ready, it's coming tomorrow. Once it goes down, we'll have to tell people to absolutely start conserving in these areas. So that's what I have. Question?
Wow, I'm looking at the site and it's, I can't read it.
I'm sorry, it's a little small.
Well, no, it's just a bunch of script.
It's not, you mean it's not up?
Well, it's, this is what I'm getting.
Well, I don't know that the site, I don't know that the site is live yet. We were waiting until after the board meeting today to push the button to publish it to go live.
Yeah, we wanted you to have knowledge, and so that you wouldn't be surprised if people started
contacting. I was surprised it's all a script. But
I see. Boy. That's a programmer behind the scenes actively working.
Questions?
It seems that many customers might have an assumption that if their power isn't out, then PSPS doesn't affect them from a water conservation perspective. Do you have thoughts on how to address the difference between the power outage not being the same thing as being affected by the pressure zone?
Right. So I think that was the main thinking behind the map, and that's why we're going to be broadcasting the map and this link out very widely.
It's on now. So yeah. I guess somebody heard it upstairs and pushed
the
button.
That's right. That's right. That's the kind of power we have.
I'm impressed.
So yes, we are trying to draw that distinction, and we have some FAQs that we've actually prepared for our dispatch center and customer call center, exactly explaining that your power might be on, but you still could be affected, or the opposite, your power could be off and you may not. So we're trying to work that into all of our messaging so that people understand the two are not the same. I mean, otherwise the PG&E map would be the same as our map, and it's not. But it is confusing. We're trying to make sure that we are careful in how we communicate that to the public.
Since I know that we have our 40 to 50 generators, and thank you for staff for being so proactive on that, when we were looking at the need for those, were we determining if the entire service area might be impacted or sections of, and so how might this play out? Let's say we go 4 or 5 days with actually water availability for emergency services and others. We'll be in okay shape.
Let me just get to a couple of points made. So we rented 29 additional generators just as far as the need, and we pre-deployed 29 generators and a few portable pumps to locations where the time to the impact was fairly short. We looked at all of our facilities to see, if we lost power to all the locations, how it might be impacted. Those that had more storage, that we had more time, what it did was it allowed us to take our existing inventory of portable pumps and generators, and we can deploy it, and we had more time. We looked at those areas where if they shut off power, we couldn't deploy 29 generators in one day. So that gets to that point. However, as I mentioned earlier, Lafayette Treatment Plant, we may be one short of a fairly large portable generator, and we're looking into that right now. But other than that, we think we have everything covered.
And I would just add that depending on the cost of that, we may take action under my authority, and then we would come back to the board for approval at the next board meeting.
I would like to applaud staff for the work and dedication they put into this. I think, hopefully we'll get through it, and hopefully it won't be as severe as it's being forecasted right now. But it's good to know that our agency is, I think, on the forefront of this issue.
And I want to second that, and also say I hope we get through it without a major fire breaking out. Not that we'll ever know whether doing this avoids that or not, but certainly anything like that, any kind of major fire event would exacerbate and complicate this, especially in areas that are dealing with power shutoff. We'll learn a lot in the next few days. Hopefully it's not five. Hopefully it's not more than five. This is, very helpful, and I think we've just, demonstrated, our ability to get ready for something that's really pretty hard to get ready for. I hope, we'll see how it goes. I think some of us will be having house guests over the next few days. That's my guess. Anybody else? Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you to everybody. If you could convey that out to everybody that's been working on this, much appreciated. Do you have more, Mr. General Manager?
That is all I have to share at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Reports and director comments. The September 24th Finance and Administration Committee minutes are included in packets, and now we'll receive reports from The Planning Committee and the Ledge HR committees that met this morning. Director Lenny?
Yeah, the Planning Committee met this morning at 9:45. We discussed two items, the wet weather program management update information report was given, and we also had information on the electrical engineering support.
And Ledge HR, Director Coleman?
We met this morning as well. We had Doreen gave a very extensive presentation, on a quarterly update on our diversity and inclusion action-oriented programs and what they're going to be doing over the next 3 months, and then reporting back in 3 months on the status of that. And there's some few comments, all positive, from board members as well.
Any other board members from that committee want to add anything?
No, but I did, Marguerite. I did advise that you, myself, and Saji had been meeting with the general manager and Laura and Dorian on this issue, and that we're very happy to see it becoming a part of our master plan, and looking forward to it coming back to the committee after they have retained the consultant, so we could have further input.
Okay. Any items for future consideration should be. Oh wait, we skipped. No, any items for future consideration should be given to the general manager. Now's director comments.
No.
Okay, going once, twice. Party barbecue was great. My first one. We had a great turnout. I plan to go again.
Staff did a great job.
Yeah, it was
as
well done.
As usual, huh?
Yeah.
Where's, I don't know, Sharla, if you're listening, hats off.
That was her last one, 20 years of doing it.
Wow.
No.
Not Sharla, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No. A person
about?
On staff up there who was.
Yeah. Wait, Charlotte's leaving? What?
No, Char. Char, that's Char. It. Yeah. Charlotte, Char, that's what it
is. Char and Sharla, both.
Sorry over there. Heart attack.
Okay. Our next regular meeting of the Board of Directors will be held at 1:15 on Tuesday, October 22nd, right here. And with that, we are adjourned.